The theme of the month is compelled. You can see that written back there. It's in your bulletin. And then we're going to talk specifically about how every soul matters to God. And I believe that one of the biggest concerns in our society, and I think you guys would agree, is that there's a lot of hatred going on. And it's funny because if you're English or if you've been in England, how many of you know they can be mad at you, but they're still polite about it? How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's like, oh, you know what? I want you out of my house at this moment, right now, you know? But, you know, here we're going to like throw things at you to get you out. So, you know, we are very good at expressing our hate, not just having it, but it comes out. And I believe that the quickest way to gain a following of people, it seems like in our society today, is to loudly express our extreme opinion, whatever that may be, at the expense of other people. And it seems like our nation, how many of you would agree, seems to be regressing instead of moving forward? Right, we seem like we're going in the wrong direction, and here we are right now, about 60 years after the civil rights movement, and tension between races still exists, and not that it just exists, but it's actually gotten worse in many areas. Wouldn't you agree? And let me tell you, it's not just about that, but churches are still segregated. I mean, there's still the black churches, there's white churches, there's Hispanic churches, there's Asian churches, and how many of you know we should just be the church? Yeah. Right? We should be. You know, when we were in Chico, we started a Spanish service, but it wasn't because of race, it was because of language, and that's a little bit different, right? Most of the people that attended our Spanish service spoke Spanish. You know, they knew some choppy English, but for them to be in an English service was very difficult, and for me to speak Spanish would have been, all I can do is pretty much order off of a menu, right? So, but yet the great thing about it is that their kids were very fluent English, you know, and so their kids, our kids, were, went to kids' church together, because it's about being together, not being separated, right? And so not just racial tension, our society really is headed in the wrong direction. All we got to do is turn on the news, right? Look around what's going on. You know, this morning there was a terrorist attack with a knife in England. I was reading it. It popped up on my phone. And there's mass shootings going around. This one was at the Las Vegas. People just going to a concert. Right, you're just going to a concert and something happens. Kids going to school, you're going to work, you're just out doing something and all of a sudden these things are happening. There's millions that are addicted to drugs all over the place. And yet we think our solution is to open up more dispensaries. Right, does that even make sense? Like, okay, well it's not that bad. But it's a gateway into things that are even worse. Am I right? There's extreme politics, angry politics. It's not like we just disagree. And let me tell you, it's coming on both sides. Yeah. Am I right? I mean, the anger just is ramping up, especially after this last couple of weeks. Am I right? Church attendance has gone down. If you look into our foster kid program, there are thousands of kids with no hope of ever getting placed anywhere. I mean, doesn't that break your heart? When you look around the polarization of our society and people rally around extreme ideas without any thought, without any worry, without any concern about other people. Like, this is my thought. This is what I believe. And I believe that something needs to change. Yeah. Right? I believe that somebody needs to do something. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah. Right? And it's really easy. We can avoid responsibility as long as we call out for action for somebody somewhere else. Somebody's got to do it. But I want to challenge you that as we get into this month, that the change that needs to happen is in you and I. Right? It needs to happen right here. We can rant and rave about everything wrong in our society. If this would happen, I can't believe that, if they would do that. But how many of you know it doesn't make any difference? It doesn't make any difference. And I believe that we are a church that wants to make a difference in our society. I believe almost every church really wants to make a difference in our society. Doesn't matter which one it is, but at the end of all of the shouting, everything is still the same. So how are we gonna make a difference? And this is what I believe will make a difference, and that is a heart change. Right? Not in them. How many of you know it has to start right here? Has to start right here if we're going to, you know, we have to allow the love of Jesus not to be just something that we talk about, because we do like to talk about the love of Jesus, don't we? Yeah. It's got to be something that penetrates our hearts in such a deep way that it changes the way we talk, that it changes the way that we treat other people, that it changes the way that we interact with people on social media. And we can, you know, we can be the faces and the agent of change in our world. We really, I believe that we're the only ones as believers, as followers of Christ, that can affect that change. And if you think about how am I going to do that, well, sometimes, and I talked a little bit about this yesterday, this kind of blends in with it, that our last week, that we can rant and rave and get angry at people, but that doesn't change anything. It just builds more hate, doesn't it? It just ramps things up more than that. But first century Rome, how many of you realize that they killed a lot of Christians back then? Right? It was very anti-Christian society. But, you know, by the third century, all of a sudden, Rome became a Christian nation. Like, what happened in that? Did the Christians rise up and post on social media how ugly they were? You know, did they picket, you know, the Caesar? And say, you know what? Oh, he's horrible. Let's get the right person in office. No, history says that the Romans were amazed by how they treated each other and how they even treated the Romans. They're out there killing them, and they had people that they would just send off to die, and the Christians would come around and love them and show the love of Christ, and that's what began to change. I believe as the church, as the followers of Christ, that people should be able to look at us and say, there is something different about them. There is something different about them, and I want to find out what it is, because I truly believe that when you begin to truly see the love of God, not religion, when you truly begin to see the love of God coming out of people, you can't help but be attracted to that. Let me tell you, Jesus attracted people, not just because of the miracles, and yes, that was it, but there was something different about him. He, you know, the scripture says that they were amazed because he didn't teach like their teachers. There was something about how he carried himself and how he presented himself to other people, and it's something that was on the inside. It wasn't like, oh, you know, I got to preach this message. I got to do the Christian thing. So our focus this month is about being compelled, and I have a definition of that is to have a powerful and irresistible effect or an influence. Many of you believe that you can be a compelling agent in this world. But for that to happen, how many of you know that we have to have a compelling agent on the inside of us? Yeah. Right? It's not a bad matter of, you know, some people think, oh, being a Christian, give me all the do's and all of the don'ts, and I'm going to follow that. What are all the things that I can do, and what are all the things that I'm not supposed to do? Listen, you can't you can't just act like a Christian and think you're really going to make a difference. Right? It has to be something. And we all understand what it means to be compelled, don't we? Like when you were kids, how many of your parents ever compelled you to do something you didn't want to do? Right? Like I know it's, you know, you can't spank your kids today, but let me tell you, you know, there was a day that was a very, you know, when your dad's like cracking the belt like that, that's very compelling. Oh, yeah. Am I right? And so, but that's outside compelling. Sometimes as a church, we can be guilty of throwing guilt on people to get you to do the right thing, yeah. Right? Does that really ever last long? Yeah. Guilt's not a great compelling force, is it? But let me tell you, when you have an encounter with God, when God begins to change you, when the Holy Spirit is on the inside, that is the compelling force. And that's exactly what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:16. He said, yet preaching the good news is not something I can boast about. I am compelled by God to do it. How terrible for me if I didn't preach it. There, you know, God did such a work on his heart that he couldn't not do it. It wasn't like, oh no, there's somebody I know I'm supposed to share Jesus with them. So, all right, let me go over that. No, that he was like drawn to do it. The Holy Spirit was moving him. And like I said, he was such a compelling force in the first century. Guess what? How compelling he was is still affecting you and I today. Yeah. Right? We're still listening to that passion that he had 2,000 years ago. And you and I can have that same compelling force in our families, in our communities, at our workplaces, wherever it is. But let me tell you, it's got to be God. It can't be us trying to throw guilt trips on people. right? God's got to begin to move. So compel is the thing. The subtitle is Every Soul Matters to God, and that's what I want to talk about. How many of you guys believe every soul matters to God?
Yes.
Right? We agree with that, and but I want to look in that at a deeper level and express that, you know, as every soul matters to God, if we believe that, the question is, how does that truth impact your life? How should it impact your life? Right? Because if we just believe something, but it doesn't reflect in our actions, then how many of you know something is wrong? There's a disconnect there. And so I want to talk about the vision of our church real briefly and cover one of the values we have. Our vision is simply this: to bring people that are far from God close to God as we do two things: love Jesus and to love others faithfully. How many of you know that's the great commandment that Jesus was asked? What is the greatest commandment? He said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And so that is our vision. It really should be the vision, and each church kind of words it a little bit different, but that really is to bring people that don't know him close to him. And let me say, not just to get people to say a prayer and say, oh yeah, we got somebody to say the sinner's prayer. No, this is about lifelong. I think there are too many people that serve God short term. Am I right? It's like, you know, I'm going to give my life to God. I'm going to surrender all of everything to God. And then like, you know, 2 months, 8 months, 2 years, 3 years later, where are they at? Sometimes we serve God to help us out of a crisis situation. But I believe that God's called us to live our life for him lifelong. And that's why, as a church, we're not here just to challenge you, oh, make that commitment to Christ, but to challenge us to draw closer to God our entire life. That means no matter how old or how young we are, we all get tempted to fall off the path, am I right? To get distracted, to go the other direction, whatever the situation. And so with that being understood, we're going to confront things in our life that draw us away. We will talk about the things that draw us away from God, but and challenge us to do the things that draw us closer to him. Right? There's two different things. The enemy's constantly trying to pull you off, and as brothers and sisters in the Lord, we're here to say, oh no, come back this way. This is the way, walk in it. So let me just say, like I said, it's a lifelong process. Even the Apostle Paul says, not that I've obtained it all, but one thing I do is forgetting what is behind and pressing on to what lies ahead, right? We want to press on all the days of our life. When the Lord takes me from this earth, whether it's today or whether it's 50 years from now, I want it, what would I be, 104? Woo! Whatever it is, I want to serve God all the days of my life. Amen? Amen. So we have values. We have 10 values. We have a list of them. They're on the internet if you look, or if you want, we can print one up. But I just want to look at our third value that we have as a church, and it's that people are our heart. And can we read this together? Listen, our heart is for all people. All people are loved by Jesus. We make no apologies for being specifically focused on reaching those far away from God. We believe that our light is best seen in the night. So what people? All people, right? And if all people are our heart, really that's just a reflection of God's heart. God's heart is for all people, and we got to believe that. Every soul matters means that every person, everywhere, no matter where you go, no matter who you lock eyes with, God loves that person, right? Even if you don't, right? So let me tell you, if we really believe this, then it should affect the things that we do. It should affect how we live. What does every soul matter to God mean to you? What action is required of you if you truly believe that? Or is there any action at all? How do you live this value out in your life? And that's what we want to talk about. But as we look at it, I believe that it might be a little convicting. It was a little convicting to me as I was even getting this ready. It's like, oh man. And I tell people this. I've had people say, oh, Pastor, you were stepping all over my toes during the service today. And I always affirm to people that, you know what, if I'm stepping on your toes, the Holy Spirit was already on mine earlier in the week, right? Because none of us have it all together. But we're going to be challenged and convicted into thinking God's way, right? So let's just take that first word, every. When we say every soul matters to God, here's the dictionary definition of every. If you didn't know, it means each and all possible. So if we substitute the word every, say every or each soul matters to God, or all possible souls matter to God. And let me tell you, this is not just a cliche. This is biblical. Am I right? Yes. This is biblical. Let me give you the verse out of 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting at verse 1. He says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for most people. Yeah, it doesn't say that, right? Okay, first of all, I urge you to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Wow. I mean, there's a lot of people I give thanks for, but, you know, there's some that I have to be honest, I don't always thank God for. Right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, Lord, I'll thank you when they're gone, right? I'll thank you when they move to another city or whatever like that. But he's saying, give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants everyone, to be saved. Excuse me, and to understand the truth. For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for
everyone,
right? And according to Paul, we're to pray for all people, all of those in authority, those that you agree with in politics and those you don't agree with. Right? Those that, you know, our president, our governor, our senators, our all of those, our police officers, how many of you know we should be praying for them? And I know many of you guys do. And it doesn't matter who it is. We need to be people that are praying. So Paul says, when you pray for these people, what does it say? God is, let's go back to the one before that, verse 4. This is good and pleases God. We please God because God desires for all people to be saved. He wants everybody to be saved. So when we begin to lift people up in prayer, God is pleased with that, right? Because Jesus gave his life to purchase freedom for everybody, every single body. And let me say, do we believe that? Do we really believe that? You know what? We know the right Christian answer, right? Of course he did. But do we really believe that Jesus gave his life to purchase freedom for everybody? I mean, as we look at these different faces that are on the wall in these different countries, did he die for all of them? Yeah. Did he really give his life for them? How about this one? What about ISIS terrorists? Yeah. Right? Did he really give his life for those people? I mean, I didn't put the picture up where it shows them, you know, about to cut the heads off of people. I don't know about you, but that kind of brings a little anger in my life. Yeah. But did he really die for them? Right? What about people like Jeffrey Epstein, right? Or other evil men that use young girls for the wrong reason, yeah. Right? Because, I mean, when stories started to come out, it's like, oh, you know? But God, did God really? What about, and let me just list a few of these names here. You may not know who they are. James R. Crow, J. Calvin Jones, Richard Reed, John Lester, Franco McCord, John B. Kennedy. They were all founders of the Ku Klux Klan. All right? When you begin to hear stories about what they did, are they somebody that Jesus gave his life for?
Yes.
Let me tell you, here's the question I think that we would never voice out loud, but maybe on the inside we wonder, that are there some people that are disqualified from the price Jesus paid? Are there some souls that no longer matter to God because of who they are and what they've done? Did they oh man, no more. You know what? Look what you did. What about the child molester? What about the drug dealer? What about the scam artist who cons old people out of their money? Right? What about just the racist people? Do they matter? This is something that is really in our heart. Do these lives really matter to God? Every soul? I mean, really. How many of you know who else that includes? That includes Democrats. Yeah, let's go to the next one right there. Republicans. I didn't have a picture of an independent because I don't know if they have a logo or anything like that. This includes Donald Trump, right? This includes Hillary Clinton. All right, this includes, and listen, whether you like it or not, this includes Nancy Pelosi. Right, this includes Adam Schiff. We've been seeing a lot of them recently, am I right? This includes people that you passionately disagree with on issues. This includes people that are on our southern border that are trying to get into our country illegally. Am I right? Listen, I heard about this church. It was a bigger church that when the height of all of this stuff was going on, that they were sending to the border water and milk for babies. And he said he had people in his church that basically wrote him nasty grams about that. And it's like, really, as believers, when do we object to giving milk for babies? What has happened to us when you know, behind this whole issue of immigration, and listen, I believe in safe borders, I believe in all of that, but sometimes we can forget that those are real people.
Yeah. Amen.
Those are real people. There's a real souls that matter to God. What about this one? What about people that are marching in a gay pride parade? Yeah, what about that? You might be saying, wait a minute, Pastor Scott, you know what? Come on, some of these situations, you're taking this too far. Am I really? Do we really believe what Paul said? And I know that, like I said, I know I may be pushing some boundaries here, but I think we have to push some boundaries sometimes.
Right.
Am I right? If we really believe that every soul matters to God, doesn't that have to affect our behavior? Shouldn't that affect how we talk about people, not just when they're present amongst us, but how about when we talk about them when they're not there?
Yeah.
Right? It's easy to talk nice to people when they're standing in front of you, but what happens when the doors are closed? How are you talking about them?
Yeah.
Because if I really believe that their soul matters, it's going to change how I communicate. It's going to begin to change how I think, that all souls really do. It's going to change how I treat people. Yeah, it's going to change some of the stuff that I post on social media. Ow, right? I know, you're like, Pastor Scott, come on, last week was rough, and you're doing it again? You're doing it again? Listen, all of a sudden, this value of loving all people, that all souls matter, it becomes a little bit more difficult when we start seeing some of these situations, some of these issues that maybe you've struggled with, because it's not every soul that is like me matters to God. It's not every soul that lives the right way matters to God. It's every soul matters to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Every soul. And let me say, just in case you think that Paul's words are out of context, let me read you something that Jesus said out of John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved most of the world.
The world.
And he's not talking about the planet. Just so you understand, that's the people here, that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to do what?
Save the world.
Right? What about Peter? Peter said this in 2 Peter. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but what?
Everyone
to come to repentance.
Amen.
How many of you see, from Jesus to Peter to Paul, and really throughout Scripture, the heartbeat of God is for everybody, regardless of what their background, their age, their race, their immigration status, their criminal history, whatever kind of warped thoughts they may have, whatever personal habits that you don't like, no matter who they are, God loves them. And if that's the case, let me tell you, they're not just eligible for God's love. They are the object of God's love.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yes.
They are. And if that's the truth, then every person should be the object of our love. Every person should. If I'm really going to live like Christ, if I'm really going to live my life and believe like him, then I've got to begin to see people differently. I got to begin to adjust that. We've got to realize that people are not my enemy. Doesn't the scripture say that we do not fight against flesh and blood? And yet so many times that's what we fight against.
Yeah.
Because there's a spiritual situation that is going on in our world, and people are held captive, and we've got to stop seeing them as the enemy just because we don't agree with something about them.
Right.
They are people that God loves. And it's an opportunity for God. to begin to love through us. How are they going to know the love of God if we don't demonstrate it? Right? Or they think they're just going to magically, somebody demonstrated the love of God to me. I know that I've shared this with you guys many times that, you know, not being raised, and my wife's the same thing. Neither one of us were raised in church. And so if somebody didn't demonstrate the love of God, I wasn't just going to like miraculously, oh, God loves me. Somebody had to show that. Somebody had to demonstrate that to me. Now, let me ask you this. Is anybody perfect with this value? Some of you guys that know Nancy in the first service, she was like, I am. You know, she was just totally joking, but it was pretty funny. The reality is none of us are perfect with this. You know, we all have our human emotion, and we are all in situations where it's really difficult to let the love of God shine through us. And let me tell you, I have not met the person that's got this down, because I know I'm certainly not that one. I know I still struggle with some of these situations. When you see something flash on TV about some child that was abused or something, how many of you know? I mean, I can just tell you that I don't feel love towards that person. Mm-hmm. I'm not like, oh, God, just bless that person. No, I mean, there's anger that comes up. And let me tell you, do we not feel justified in some of that? Do we not feel justified? But let me just say this about sin. Sin has a way of really messing people up. Amen? Has a way of really messing people up. And this is just factual truth, that most people that hurt or molest a child at one time in their life were hurt and molested. Am I right? And when that's happened to that child, we can be compassionate towards that child because that wasn't their fault. But if nobody ever showed them and they never were able to break free and they grow up and all of a sudden now they're that person, guess what? They've just been in bondage their whole life. And I don't have compassion for them as an adult, but as a kid, oh yeah, I can be compassionate. And don't you see what it is? A sin has just messed us up. And if we don't understand that the enemy and that the sin is really the enemy, that's why the Bible says God hates sin. He doesn't hate the people. He hates what sin does to us. It warps us. It changes us. It makes us who we're not supposed to be. And I heard this phrase years ago. I love it because it's so true. It says sin has a way of taking you further than you wanted to go, to keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and will cost you more than you wanted to pay.
Yeah, it will.
Everybody has been damaged by sin. Yeah. Everybody. And let me tell you, if it's a mild sin, how many of you know where, oh yeah, I can forgive you. That's just a little white lie. Right? That's just a little white lie. And I don't know why we color our lies, you know, as though that makes it different. Because a lie is a lie, and they're all sin, right? Yeah. Like if somebody only white lies to you, how many are like, no big deal. But I don't know what color a worse lie is.
Green?
You gave me a green lie. Oh, no. The big ones we struggle with. The things that people have done to us that are big grievances. And let me tell you, people hurt people. Yep. There's small hurts and there's really big hurts. And let me tell you, when you are the result of somebody else's sinful choice, it's hard to forgive, isn't it? It's hard to love. Our response to people must be in love. Now, that doesn't mean that you got to go have a dinner with a serial killer, right? Like, oh, you know, I'm just going to love you. You know, what's that in your pocket there? You know, is that a knife? I'm not talking about that. You were not talking about, you know, if situations happen, we still got to love, but we can't look at people through eyes of hate. We can't allow hate to be the dominant thought that when we see the person, that immediately it's like, oh, just disgust. I can't stand that. We have to learn to look through the eyes of God's love. And let me tell you, that's not just a matter of retraining my thoughts. That's a matter of really allowing the compelling love of God on the inside, because that's the only way. Let me just say, the only way I'm going to love some people in this world is because of God's love inside me.
Yeah.
It's very easy to love those that are nice, you know. If you give me $100, man, I love you. You're awesome. But if you steal $100 from me,
watch out.
It's different, isn't it? Remember what Paul said in Timothy. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Why is that first? Have you thought about that? Let me tell you, there are people that it's hard to pray. When you begin to pray for other people, when you begin to really intercede for other people, guess what God's doing to your heart? He's changing it. If I just see somebody, oh, that person, you know this, and I don't pray for them, my heart's not going to change. I'm just going to be disgusted, angry, whatever with them. But he says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Let me tell you, when you've been hurt by people, that's a hard prayer to say, isn't it? It's like, Lord, help them into the ditch. Help them to pay for what they've done to me. Let me tell you, I could go on, and we're going to continue this series, but I want to tell you that the reason this is important is because this really is a heart issue. If I don't get my heart right, how am I going to be able to do, how are we going to begin to ask for a revival in our church, in our community, if I can't even love other people? If I can't allow the love of God to penetrate my heart, you know, as long as I keep it in my mind where I know that that's a truth, but man, when it begins to penetrate, it's going to change everything. It's going to begin to change everything. And so today we're going to take communion at the end of service. So if I can have the ushers come forward. You know, it's interesting that the scripture tells us to love those within the church first, because it really does start right here, doesn't it? We've got to begin to love. Sometimes, and this is just so embarrassing sometimes as a church, that sometimes there's church splits because people didn't agree on the color of carpet. They didn't like this song selection, or it was too hot, or it was too cold. I mean, some of the silliest things, and we think that we're going to make a difference in our world because we're walking around offended and silly. They didn't look at me right. They didn't say hi to me. They didn't whatever. Man, we're all messy people. And we've got to learn to love each other, and that when we begin to do that well, guess what? It begins to spread out into our communities. You begin to love your neighbor because you've learned how to love, you know, Brother Delton. I'm just messing with him. But it's so true. And so we're going to take communion, and you've not taken communion like this, but I want to encourage you, don't just come up here alone, but grab two or three other people and just say, hey, listen, we're going to come up here and we're going to take communion together. Because that's really what this is about. None of us serve Christ independently. We serve God as a community. And I believe that God shows up. And I shared this in our first service, was kind of low today, that what does the scripture say? How many people does it take to have church? It takes more than one. Wherever two or three are gathered in his name. You can have an independent relationship with the Lord. But I'll tell you, when we learn what community is and begin to serve God together, then God begins to move. So can I have everybody stand?